Well, good morning. It's been about a month since I was last with you, and so I want to thank you guys for your prayers for our family over these weeks, as there's been just a lot going on for us, and we ended up taking a 3-week road trip out west, and a lot of you have asked how it was, and so I thought I'd give a little picture show this morning for you of some of the places we made it through 17 states, and we covered about 6,700 miles, if not more. And that van and the eight of us got to travel out to northwest Montana the whole way down to... Hey, I'm controlling this. and so there we are, and we're all smiling at this point. And so we made it the whole way out to northwest Montana, the whole way down to Arizona and back, and saw a lot of stuff in between. And so so the first park that we saw was the Badlands, which was just wonderful out in South Dakota. We made it to Mount Rushmore, and kids were great for me. And then we made it to Big Sky, Montana, just amazing and beautiful. And Yellowstone, this is one of those things that you just see and you're like, man, is that for real? But it is, and it's just so beautiful, one of those springs. And then we made it to this amazing place. Do you guys know where this is? That's right, Costco. That's right. You know they got rid of those. And then customer feedback was not positive. And they brought them back. So it's a good thing. It's a good deal. And so we hit a few of those. And then we made it to Glacier National Park out there, and this hidden lake is just a beautiful place. It looks like that from above. And then where did we go? Oh, then we went the whole way down through Idaho and Utah and made it to Bryce, and this is Zion Park National Park, and just found a little slot canyon to go take a hike in. It was just a lot of fun. And then the Grand Canyon, and then there's Mesa Verde in Colorado. There, that was really neat to see where the Indians, like all those 700,000 years ago, were building these little cliff dwellings there. So that was wonderful. And then we had a party in the in Colorado. They have these Great Sand Dunes National Park. It's just unbelievable how God put that right in the middle of nowhere. And then we hit Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs. And then we just decided, let's just drive home. And we went for it. And we got home after a lot of driving. And so we saw a lot of beautiful stuff, and it was amazing. But the thing that I got asked about most whenever I got home, and apparently all the likes and comments the most on, because Kristen does this Facebook thing, was this place. And it was just like, wow, I'm surprised that that's what people were most interested in. So I don't know. It's really not that exciting there. So... But we had a great time, and I wanted to thank you all for your prayers for us. And as we traveled, one of the things each week that I looked forward to was getting to listen into the messages that God had for us as a church family. As Doug shared about when fear and faith collide, and then Kirby just really appreciated his message of living joyfully. And Butch last week, as he shared about having a heart of worship, and it's not just about, you know, as we sing and as we gather here, but it's about a whole life and living that out. And so I'm so grateful for them, and they did a great job, right? Yeah, let's thank, they're not here except for Doug, but yeah. God has been so good to us, and we're so grateful for them. This morning, as we turn to God's Word, if you have your Bibles, want to just look at a few verses in Psalm 147 to be like a launching place for us. This morning, is we're going to look at the first six verses really briefly. If you don't have your Bible, it's right there on the screen. And so let's all stand as we read these verses, and then we'll pray and we'll go. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, and he gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars, and he gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord, and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble, and he casts the wicked to the ground. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we have gathered together, it's been such a joy. And now we turn to your word, and We just ask that you would speak to our hearts and just use these words that that I share for the good and to help us trust you more. In your name we pray. Amen. So on our trip, one of the things that I loved most about our time was that we spent about half the time tent camping. And one of the best things about tent camping is that you get to be out, you're up looking at the sky, and tent camping is a great thing whenever you have good weather. And we had great weather, and it was awesome the whole time. And a lot of the places that we were at, you have these dark skies kind of situations, and you know what that means is, like, you go out there, and you can just look up in the sky, and you see the stars just blanketing, like, so many stars that we don't see around here in places like this. You look up, you can see the Milky Way, you see stars just shooting across the sky, and it's just beautiful. And Glacier was the first place that I remembered to look up and just to see what it was like. And my phone camera does not capture stars like that. So I went online and I saw this is at Glacier, and that's what it looked like. And so it was just amazing, and then we went down to Zion, and I remember just sitting there, and here's the same thing down there at Zion, and seeing these kinds of views as we were camping right on the edge of a little canyon kind of place, and it was a beautiful situation there. And just, I'd lay there on the picnic table and just stare up and look at it and be amazed and in awe of God's handiwork. And all was still and quiet, and verse 4 of this passage that we looked at this morning came to mind, where it says this, that he determines the number of the stars, and he gives to all of them their names. And guys, that's really why we're here, right? Because he's so great, because he's beyond measure, because he's so glorious, and that's what all of creation is pointing to, his greatness. That's what we've been singing about all morning, and it's just amazing to be there and to look up at the stars and to know that he's greater than we can imagine. And just by saying the word, that he put every single one of those stars in their place. And not only did he put them there, but he knows the number of them, and the psalmist tells him that he's named every single one of them. And it's just crazy to think that that's how great our God is. That's how huge he is. But as I looked at that verse, the verse before, it stuck out to me more, even more, in light of verse 4. As we look at that, in verse 3, it says this. It says that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And this psalm, it's all about exhorting us. It's all about telling us to praise the Lord, that it is a good thing for us to do. That's how it starts, right? Verse 1. It is a good thing to do. You know, and there are some things that are good to do, but that aren't very pleasant. But not only is worshiping and praising the Lord a good thing, but it is a pleasant thing to do. I was thinking about that. There are some things that are good for me in my life that I just don't find too pleasant. Going to the dentist is one of those things. You go, sorry, Harry. I heard you. There you are. But that's one of the things. It's good for me. It's not pleasant. I just go in there. I open my mouth, close my eyes, hope I go to sleep, and that when I wake up, it's all done. But this isn't one of those things. Praising God isn't like that. It is a good thing for us. It is a pleasant thing to do. It is a refreshing thing. It is an enjoyable thing for us to do. There's a lot of things that are pleasant that aren't good for me, like eating too much ice cream. But here the psalmist is saying that this is not only good, it's pleasant, and that it is fitting. This is what we were made for. And so what we've been doing all morning as we're just praising the Lord is what we have been made for. It fits us well. And then he goes on and he begins to tell us about what's so praiseworthy, what's so good about our God. And he says a number of things, but here in verse 3, he says this about God and what he does. He says that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And all I could think of as I would lay there and just stare up at the stars and look up was being amazed at how amazing it is that he would be able to create, that he's that great to create and hang the stars in the skies for us, but yet be so concerned with my life, with your life, with my family's life, with the people that I hold dear, and every person on the planet. How can it be? And that's what the psalmist says, doesn't he, in Psalm 8? And he says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You know, what is this? How can this be that our God would care about us so much, and yet he's so great that he creates the stars and the Milky Way and everything that is out there? And honestly, that verse was right there before verse 4 was all the more important to me in this season. Because if there's a... A time when I've been broken and hurting, then right now is that season. And to be reminded that our God is one who heals is a truth that I'm clinging to and I'm experiencing. In the pictures from our trip, there's a whole lot of smiling faces. And it was a good time. But behind that, in our family, there's this hurt. And I know it's the case, and it can be true for a lot of our lives, right? All together and as individuals. It's one of the things about social media, that things can look so good in pictures, but behind, if we really go further and we know what's going on, everything's not so happy, and things are hard, and there's brokenness, and there's sadness, and there's pain, and there's grief. And even in loss, we want to move past it as if everything is just fine and be happy, but the reality is that there is a hurt and there is pain behind. And so this morning, I just want to share a little bit about what God's been teaching me, and hoping that and believing that it's an encouragement to you if you're here and you're in that place of sadness and hurt and pain, maybe discouragement, maybe loss. Maybe there's relationships that need mending. Maybe there's fearful and anxious hearts, all kinds of hard things. And just maybe there's some encouragement here for you. And if you're not in that place right now, maybe at some point you will be, and it'll be encouraging to you. And maybe if you know somebody who's there, it'll help you encourage them. Very simply, the Lord's been teaching me to trust him more, to trust him that his ways are higher than mine, to trust that he's working in my heart, in our families for the good. But more specifically, there's three ways that have come to mind for me over these weeks. And maybe God's wanting to work in the midst of your brokenness in similar ways. And so I want to encourage you to trust him through it all, because you can. And as we've been driving, just reminded as I look in the rearview mirror that there he is, and he's always been so good in carrying us along to this point. And so I got three lessons that I'm learning, and they all start with L, okay? So the first one is in regards to letting go. In regards to letting go of things that I hold dear, not that it's wrong to hold them too dear, not it's wrong to hold them dear, but maybe do we hold on to them too dearly? Am I holding on to something, maybe even without even knowing it, too dearly? The goal of my life and the greatest joy of my life, and I know for you and for every single person, is to know Jesus and to pursue him. With your whole heart is my greatest desire. And it's through my brokenness and loss and having to let go, as hard as it might be, is the very means by which I find myself clinging to my Savior with all that I have. Those times when it hurts so bad, those times when you can't understand why things are the way they are. When you're so taken by surprise. It's encouraging to know that God can take those seasons and experiences and use them for the good. That's what the Apostle Paul says, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says this. It's always been an encouragement to me and to many of us I know as we go through hard things. Because Paul there, he's writing to the believers in Corinth and he says this. We don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. He's going through a very hard time, for we're so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Ever been there? But he goes on and he says, indeed, we felt that we'd received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And he wants us to rely on him. He wants us to know that there isn't anything that we're holding on to that is more precious than him. That there isn't anything that we're clinging to more than him. He wants us to treasure him above all things. Genesis 22, I was just reminded of this story of Abraham and Isaac. And Abraham, after all these years, he's like 100 years old. And finally, I mean, God has promised he's going to give him a kid. And he does. And then it comes to that point whenever God asks him in Genesis 22, he says, all right, I want you to take Isaac and I want you to go and I want you to sacrifice him on an altar. And Genesis 22, verse 2, he says it like this. God says to him, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. This one that you love so dearly. He's the only one you got, and you waited a long time for him. I want you to take that kid, and I want you to take him up the mountain. I want you to sacrifice him on the altar. And there, what's God doing? God is, it's a test for Abraham, where God wants to see what is, does Abraham trust him? Is Abraham willing to obey him no matter what? And he takes him up there, and we know as the story continues that God doesn't allow Abraham to kill his son, but rather it's a test of his trust in God. And so very simply, I just want to ask you, is there something that you're holding on to in your life that is getting in the way of your relationship with Jesus? I'm not saying that there's bad things at all. They can be very good things, but even good things can take a place that isn't theirs, that is God's. Is there anything, maybe are there hopes, are there dreams, are there plans, are there expectations of how you think things should be or are going to go? Is there anything that you're holding on to that's getting in the way of your love for and your trust in God? In your brokenness, is there something that you're holding on to that maybe, just maybe, God's asking you to let go of and trust him with? The question I've been asking myself is, are there things that I hold on to? Are there gifts that God has placed in my life that I've wrongly or in such a way held so closely that's keeping the Lord from reigning supremely in my life? Secondly, second L is, in this season, is that I've been challenged to consider what it means to love deeply and love well. In the midst of these days, one of the things that I've been so blessed by is you. And the people who have come alongside and embraced us, cried with us, listened to us, called us. So much so that there isn't a day, apparently not today either, where I haven't gotten super emotional. And it just keeps on going. And a lot of that happens whenever people ask, how are you doing? And that means a lot. And Kristen and I are so grateful. And we've experienced what it is to be loved well. And so, Kristen and I, thank you. And are blessed so much to be a part of a place like this that exhibits what Paul and Peter and plenty of New Testament writers talk about in regards to what a church is supposed to be like and how we're supposed to love one another. Paul, just a few verses, Paul, he writes about it in Philippians 1. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. And he scoots down to verse 8 and he says, for God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. I mean, he loves these people. 1 Peter 1:22, he encourages them, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for in sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. That's Peter. Paul, he writes again in Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. And that's what we've experienced through in so many ways. And I know that through the years, that's what it is. That's one of the greatest gifts to be a part of Devonshire, because it's what we do. I've had the joy of watching people come alongside each other in hard times, hugging and telling them that you love them, and doing all of those things. I so appreciated Kirby's message from a few weeks ago, because that's exactly what he challenged us to do, right? Don't wait. Don't assume everybody knows, but say it. Tell each other that you love them. And so let's continue to do that. Let's keep on telling people that we appreciate them, that we see God working in them, that they mean a lot, because life is short, and we don't know how short. Because even whenever you're broken and you're hurting, it's easy to give in, but having someone come alongside and ask how you're doing is huge. Yesterday we had a memorial service for Cappy, and I shared there, like, one of the things that sticks out to me about Cappy and the person that he was that he was a guy with a humongous heart, and he was not afraid, neither is Tina, and plenty of people, to tell you that they love you. And that was that guy that I would always know going away from him just exactly how he felt about you. So I want to just encourage us, let's keep on being that, and let's do that. God's put us here for a reason. A big part of that is to love the people that he's put in our lives and to be encouraged. And so let's love deeply. And lastly, in the midst of the hurt and the pain, in the midst of the brokenness, I've been reminded again and again that my Savior loves me so deeply and more than I can know. And I want you to know the same also, that he loves you beyond what you can imagine. Just a few examples. As we left for our trip, we had this long stretch there. It's like all these little ways that God shows up in our lives, right? And along the way, he did not disappoint, but he kept on showing up. And we got out to, we were in Wisconsin that night, staying with my cousin's family. And we had a long trip from Wisconsin out to South Dakota at the Badlands. And it's, if you've done that trip, there is nothing in the midst of there except for no, it wasn't even there. Wall Drug wasn't even there yet. That's even worse. So we made it to that long stretch there. And what does God put in the middle of that? We're asking some people to pray for us, that, you know, because that was the most exciting part for my kids, was the long hours in the car. They could not wait. So we already knew, like, we hadn't even seen anything exciting yet. We had a long trip ahead of us, and we were just praying that they'd make it okay without going nuts and driving us crazy. And right in the middle of that trip, he puts the Spam Museum, that I did not even know that there was a museum for Spam, like, puts Spam headquarters right 3 minutes off the highway. If you've ever, anybody been there? No, you gotta check it out. Like, when you go out there, it's like Chocolate World, only it's Spam World, and you walk in and I'm not joking, they have a Spam ambassador at the door I'm not joking, it's serious. And then after I bought, you know, there's 17, 18 varieties of Spam flavors. I didn't know that, and I like Spam. And that's why this is such a big deal, because we enjoy Spam. I like Spam, and so does my family, because I do. They had that many varieties, and so I went and I bought the jalapeno Spam and the hot and spicy Spam. And after I bought it, the cash register, the lady there, she said, have a spamtastic day. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, I couldn't believe it. So, I mean, he just showed up in the middle of that day. Who knew? Like, the thrushes were going to need some just encouragement. And God put it right there. And there were so many other ways, from just seeing, getting to see some wildlife, to God providing just amazing accommodations for us for a number of days. And each step of the way providing, you know, I didn't have a plan as to where we were going to stay on this trip at all for these 17 days, except for two nights at Glacier that I felt pressured into making because my wife couldn't handle not having a plan, so I gave her 2 days out of the 17. but on the way, it couldn't have worked out better. It's a good way to do it, right, Kristen? This morning she said yes. And so it was so good, and God met us each step of the way, and so many stories of answered prayer, and so we know without a doubt, and we've experienced his presence and his love for us in our lives. And so I want to encourage you to open up your eyes to see and to rest in the truth that the God who hung the stars, that he loves you more than you can know, and in the midst of whatever your brokenness is and your hurt and your pain, to know that he is with you and that you can trust him. And how much does he love you? This past week, I was just reminded and brought to tears again as I was reminded that 9 years ago, it was whenever, go ahead, Christian, that this little guy came into our life. And Anthony, he came into our lives through the foster care system, you know the story, through adoption, and he was born. Kristen got to wheel him out of the hospital in a wheelchair, and there he was, a helpless little baby, cocaine in his system, you know, just a situation that was no good. And we welcomed him into our home, and we got to bring him home and be a part of our family. And I was reminded, you know, you want to talk about how much God loves us? That's how much he loves us. Just the adoption, that's what, you know, the Bible speaks of. And that's how it's talked about as to how much God loves us, that's us. We're helpless. We don't have anything going for us. We're in a really bad way. We are deserving of it all. And he sends his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. God does, because he loves us so much, so that we can be brought into his family. The next slide is, that's what he looks like now, in case you don't know. Just having a great time getting to have this kid in my life. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, this is what he says, in the same way, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world, but when the fullness of time had come, at just the right time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. This whole thing of adoption, that's how much he loves us. And what a blessing it is, and it's because of that, as he goes on there, that as we come to know him, as we're brought into his family, that there we are and we're crying out, Father, Abba, Father. And that's why we sing, and that's how we can sing those words out to our Heavenly Father. And so that's what the gospel is all about. We're all children enslaved to the principles of this world, but God sent his son to live a life that we couldn't live, to die a death that he didn't deserve, to redeem us so that we could be adopted into his family. That's how much he loves us. We're so loved, and because we're so loved, we can let go. We can love deeply. We can just rest in his love and find peace for the days to come. And so maybe you're here and you're hurting, and maybe you're broken, and maybe you have a sadness going on and you're in need of healing. What's the Lord saying to you in the midst of it all? This is what he's saying to me, and it's really carried me along. Because his voice is the one that you need to hear. And as verse 3 says, he is a healer. And he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up our wounds. And there's nothing that is impossible with him. You can know that he's trustworthy and that he's at work. And just to end, one more picture. We were at Yellowstone, and how many of you have been to see Old Faithful? plenty of you. It's pretty cool. There's a lot of these geysers, and it's not the biggest one out there, but it is definitely consistent. And as we gathered there, you can see, I don't know if you can see it on this picture, but out along the edge there are, like, I don't know, a lot of people from everywhere, just sitting there waiting. And we're all just waiting and waiting because this thing's supposed to go off. And we're waiting there. There's people from so many nations that are not the United States. It's like most of the times we're going around these parks, it's mostly an international crowd that we're hanging with, because there's all kinds of other languages, plenty of folks from Asia and Europe, and that's just who you're with. And so as I sat there and just waiting, I'm thinking all these people from all these nations and all these places of different situations, places, nationalities, ethnicities, everybody is gathered around this geyser, and we're just waiting. And we're waiting with expectancy because from what we hear and from experience and history, this geyser is faithful, and it's consistent, and it's going to happen. And there we are, and eventually we're just watching, and go ahead, next slide. There it goes, and it happens. And I'm just thinking about this as we're all waiting, and as we're all sitting there, all these people, what are we waiting for? We're waiting to see what God's going to do. He's the one who created this. He's the one who made this. He's the one who's kicking this thing into gear and getting it to shoot up into the sky. And we're all just sitting around waiting to see what he's going to do. And maybe you're here and you're just sitting around and you're waiting and you're with expectancy and anticipating, what is God going to do? God, we got to see what you're going to do, because you're the one who's the old faithful. You're the faithful one in the midst of this. And you're the one that's going to blow us all away and just amaze us by what you're going to do. You're the one who does amazing things. And so for us, church, let's trust him. Let's lean into him and keep on crying out to him. He's a healer. Not only is he a healer, but the verse before that one says, what is he? He's a builder. And so let's build our lives on him. What is there that's heavy on your heart right now where you need to see God work? Where you need to see him show his greatness? I don't know, is it your own walk with the Lord? Is there something that's getting in the way of that? Maybe you're here and you're visiting and you're like, man, what did I walk into? This guy just cries a lot up here. But maybe, just maybe, you're here and you need to know that there's a God who loves you and cares for you, and that he wants more than anything to have a relationship with you. And maybe there's some stuff in your life and in all of our lives that is getting in the way of our pursuit of him and knowing him. And what is that? What is there that we need to let go of? Maybe it's something in your family. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in a friendship. Maybe it's with your future. You're like, God, I just need to see you work. And so he's a healer of the broken hearts, and he binds up our wounds. And so let's just ask him to breathe life into us. Let's bow our heads. Just want you to ask you to, just in the quiet of this moment, ask the Holy Spirit, or listen in to what is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now. Father in heaven, as we have gathered together today, what a gift it has been to be reminded that you are a God who who has set the stars in their places, that you know every single one of their numbers. You even named them. And that's amazing. And that's deserving of praise right there, of our worship. But you go further and you go beyond that, and you concern yourself with our lives. And you love us more than we could know. You show up in ways that can't be explained. And you meet us. And here specifically, you say you meet those who are broken, hurting, and in pain. And you remind us that we're not alone, that you have everything that we need, that you're with us along the way. And so, God, I believe that across this room, I'm not the only one in this place, but there's a whole bunch of us here if we're honest. And we're needing a touch from you. And you know all those situations. And so we're just asking that you would breathe life into those. Help us to let go of those things that we need to let go of. Help us to love deeply.